NBC News World Headquarters in New York. This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening to our viewers in the West. Against a recent wave of anti-Semitic crimes and threats across the country, President Trump, in an exclusive interview with NBC News today, offered his most direct language on the issue, in clear terms denouncing the recent pattern of anti-Semitic acts as terrible. Today's remarks are in contrast to other recent public comments the president has made on the subject that fell short of a direct response. But tonight, a major civil rights group says Mr. Trump still has not gone far enough. White House correspondent Hallie Jackson has details.
In St. Louis, rows of vandalized headstones at a Jewish cemetery. In San Diego, the 12th bomb threat against a Jewish community center just this week. 70 incidents across the country this year alone. In Washington, a president watching.
I think he needs to take a leadership role and speak out more strongly against all of this hate.
Today, President Trump's response in an exclusive interview with NBC's Craig Melvin.
I think it's terrible. I think it's horrible. Whether it's anti-Semitism or racism or anything you want to think about having to do with the divide, anti-Semitism is... likewise, it's just terrible.
So you're denouncing it now once and for all?
Of course, and I do it wherever I get a chance, I do it.
He had the chance twice last week.
As far as people, Jewish people, so many friends, a daughter who happens to be here right now. Number one, I am the least anti-Semitic person that you've ever seen in your entire life. Number two, racism. The least racist person.
No, we know that.
Quiet, quiet, quiet.
The president's message today to some, too little, too late.
We have a series of anti-Semitic attacks on Jewish community centers, on cemeteries. And this president said nothing over the weekend. His silence is poison. Nothing the president today mitigated the cancer growing in the White House that starts with him.
I'm asking if he's comfortable with his role as the person who needs to be delivering a broader message.
Well, he is very comfortable and understands that as the leader of the free world, that he has an awesome responsibility to make it very clear where we're going as a country and what our values are.
Also today, the president's new national security advisor had his first meeting in the Situation Room here at the White House. That is where President Trump received a briefing from his national security team, including now Lieutenant General H.R. McMaster. Lester.
Hallie Jackson at the White House tonight. Thank you. The Trump administration today also unveiled its details for the sweeping plan to potentially deport millions of undocumented immigrants. As the president's immigration policies continue to meet with resistance, activists unfurled a large banner reading "Refugees Welcome" today at the base of the Statue of Liberty, an incident now under investigation. For more on the president's deportation plan, we turn to our justice correspondent, Pete Williams.
The Secretary of Homeland Security calls for vastly more aggressive enforcement of immigration laws already on the books to reduce the number of people here illegally and fulfill a central Donald Trump campaign pledge.
Most illegal immigrants are lower-skilled workers with less education who compete directly against vulnerable American workers.
As of today, nearly anyone here illegally is subject to deportation, fewer exemptions. Anytime undocumented migrants are picked up by police for any violation and their fingerprints are sent to Homeland Security, they could be deported. In theory, even for traffic violations, though Homeland officials say they'll concentrate on serious offenses. Young people like 18-year-old Eduardo Solis in Los Angeles, so-called dreamers, children who came here illegally with their parents, feared what might happen.
As a child, I was afraid that my parents would be deported and I would stay here, but now that I'm grown up, I'm afraid that my whole family, including myself, will be deported.
But dreamers like him are allowed to stay, as President Obama ordered 5 years ago. To handle the extra work, the memos call for hiring 5,000 more Border Patrol agents and 10,000 more ICE agents who enforce the law nationwide. No more catch and release. People detained at the border will be held until their court hearings, no longer released and allowed to show up later. Immediate deportation without any hearing for people picked up who've been here illegally less than 2 years. It used to be 2 weeks. And prosecution or removal for adults here who pay human smugglers to have their children brought here. Immigrant and rights groups say it puts millions of people in fear they could be sent home.
Anybody who is undocumented, whether they're going to the grocery store, whether they're dropping off their kids to school, at any given day, they could be deported.
Most of this will take months, even years, to fully enforce, and Homeland officials say they don't plan any mass roundups. On a separate note, the revised Trump executive order on restricting travel from seven mainly Muslim countries is expected in a day or so. Lester?
All right, Pete, thank you. And as that situation plays out, we go to a situation playing out on the border. Immigrants crossing over, making a run for it, trying to get in, trying to get to a place they feel safe. But it's not the Mexico border we're talking about, and they're not trying to get into the United States. They're trying to get out. NBC's Kevin Tibbles explains from the U.S.-Canada border.
In the dead of winter, they cross illegally from the United States into Canada, many arriving in tiny Emerson, Manitoba, population 650.
How's it going?
This Somali man found frostbitten and alone.
What's your name?
Over on this side would be the United States.
Sergeant Corey Myers describes the trek as perilous.
Often they're not well equipped to handle the conditions out here, so it can be dangerous.
Out here, the border is hard to see and harder to police. This year, already more than 100 have made the journey seeking asylum.
Everybody that shows up at the port of entry are treated with the same level of respect and professionalism.
This group, with children in tow, crossed from New York into Quebec yesterday. Ahmed Usa from Ghana describes how someone pointed the way.
And he said, you cross this field, that is the border. If you go there, it's Canada.
Kind of freaks you out in the middle of the night, you're dead sleep.
In Emerson, local politician Greg Jansen says asylum seekers often wake up residents seeking help.
It's the ban that President Trump has put on, and that's scaring the people.
Once in Canada, they can remain until their refugee case is heard. The Salvation Army in nearby Winnipeg has had to make new beds available.
We're just doing what we can do to help these folks. They're here in Canada. They need help.
Still, in this small town, many now wonder just how many are planning to cross, and will they survive the winter? Kevin Tibbles, NBC News, Emerson, Manitoba.
We turn now to a state of emergency in Northern California from powerful storms, torrential rains turning roads into rivers, rising floodwaters leaving people stranded. There are dramatic rescues to tell you about tonight as high water pushes through levees and over dams. NBC's Miguel Almaguer has late details.
The Alpha rescue boat just landed.
A state of emergency in San Jose. The calls for help flooding in as the water begins to rise. More than 100 people ferried to safety, away from what firefighters call toxic floodwaters, swamping cars and pouring into homes.
I didn't expect it to be this bad, this fast. It rose really fast.
The water rescues continued through the day.
You got two people trapped out in the center.
The high drama triggered by the swollen Coyote Creek, topping its banks in farm country and in the city of San Jose. The airport and freeways taking on water, some plucked, clinging from trees.
Well, I cannot say that the worst is over. My understanding is the peak level may continue to rise.
Reservoirs across California are at or above capacity. This is the race to release water, but it's all headed downstream towards vulnerable communities.
From Sacramento to San Francisco, a washout, bringing down hillsides and massive trees.
Had the truck not stopped the tree, it would have fallen into the house.
Tonight, this region is saturated with nowhere for the water to go. Now there is even more rain in the forecast next week. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News, San Jose.
In Australia, officials are trying to determine what caused a plane to plunge out of the sky, exploding on impact into a shopping mall, killing the pilot and four Americans on board. We're now seeing the flight's tragic last moments. Here's NBC's Kelly Cobiella.
The final moments of what should have been a dream vacation, captured by a witness in this video obtained by Australia's Channel 10, a charter plane coming in low and fast toward a Melbourne shopping mall. Seconds later, it explodes in a fireball next to a busy highway, crashing through the mall's roof.
It's pretty horrible. Standing there, couldn't do anything.
Tonight, we're learning more about those on board, an Australian pilot and four Americans, golfing friends from Texas.
70-year-old Greg DeHaven was a retired FBI agent on what his sister called a once-in-a-lifetime trip.
It was everything we could have hoped for, because it included us from his wife and second love golf.
Glenn Garland was a former energy executive, Russ Munch, a retired attorney, and his neighbor, John Washburn, whose daughter spoke to us on the phone.
And he was really, really smart. And he was a really good dad.
The group's charter flight took off just after 9 a.m., crashing into the storage area of the shopping mall. The pilot had reported a catastrophic engine failure on the twin-engine aircraft, similar to this one.
I'm a little surprised, because this airplane has such a good record, that an engine failure would result in a loss of control and an accident of this severity. It's pretty unusual.
Tonight, investigators look for answers while families mourn. Kelly Kobiella, NBC News.
Now to the growing backlash against an ultra-conservative provocateur who's been in the headlines recently. Milo Yiannopoulos resigned today as editor for Breitbart News after controversy erupted over his past remarks, which critics say appeared to endorse pedophilia. He's also been disinvited to speak at a major conservative gathering, now that many say this far-right firebrand, who's offended women, Muslims, gays, and more, finally went too far. We get more from NBC's Stephanie Gosk.
Pulled from this week's high-profile conservative event, Milo Yiannopoulos instead spoke out in New York City.
America has a colossal free speech problem.
The UK-born journalist, a champion of free speech to some, an offensive instigator to others, resigned today from right-wing Breitbart News. Just part of the fallout from these 2016 comments. Yiannopoulos sharing his thoughts on the legal age of consent.
There are certainly people who are capable of giving consent at a younger age.
He went on to describe in graphic detail his sexual relationship with a priest at the age of 14. In a statement, organizers at the conservative conference CPAC say they pulled their invitation due to the revelation of an offensive video in the past 24 hours condoning pedophilia. Simon & Schuster canceled the release of his book, Dangerous, on Monday, even though Yiannopoulos emphatically denies condoning pedophilia.
I'm a gay man and a child abuse victim. I'm certainly guilty of imprecise language, which I regret. And anyone who suggests, however, that I turn a blind eye to illegal activity or to the abuse of minors is unequivocally wrong.
Although angry and regretful today, the 32-year-old typically courts controversy. He's behind some of the most incendiary headlines at Breitbart, where he was hired by former executive chairman Steve Bannon. Twitter banned Yiannopoulos for life. Violent protests at Berkeley led officials to cancel his speaking engagement on campus. There was an outcry. President Trump tweeted, "If UC Berkeley does not allow free speech and practices violence on innocent people with a different point of view, no federal funds?" Tonight, some conservatives may be looking for a little distance, but Milo Yiannopoulos and his brand of free speech are not going away. Stephanie Gosk, NBC News, New York.
We're back in a moment with a special guest who kind of made our day here at Nightly News. He once led the Los Angeles Lakers on the court. Now he'll lead them from off the court. Magic Johnson has been named president of basketball operations for the Lakers in a major front office shakeup. The Lakers hope Magic can help turn things around after the team endured its worst four-year stretch in franchise history. After more than 3 years in the U.S., the time has come to say bye-bye to Bao Bao. The giant panda was flown off to her new home in China today aboard a plane FedEx dubbed, what else? The Panda Express. Bao Bao was born at the National Zoo in 2013, but will now join China's breeding program. And her in-flight meal consists of 55 pounds of bamboo. Indulge me for just a moment to follow up on a charming viral video from a few weeks ago that featured a little boy in Portland, Oregon, letting a local reporter know he wanted someone else to interview him.
Lester Holt?
Lester Holt? Was Lester Holt a part of this morning's coverage?
I usually see him more on the news than you.
I'm Lester. How are you?
Well, his name is Jaden, and we finally met today. The 7-year-old was visiting family in New York, and to our delight, stopped by and got a behind-the-scenes tour of Nightly News along with his cousin, Zia.
What does that say?
Good evening and welcome to the NBC Nightly News studio.
Welcome, Jaden.
Well, they know the secret how easy it is now. Jaden certainly made my day. And a big thanks, by the way, to KGW TV's Drew Carney for being a great sport about all this. And by the way, there's more on our Facebook page. When we come back, the officer who went way beyond the call of duty when he got an unusual request for help. Finally tonight, police officers are used to calls for help, but usually not like this. A fifth grader in Ohio had an unusual request for the cops. Help with her homework. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez has a story of a valuable lesson in more ways than one.
How are you?
Today, fifth grader Lena Draper and Lieutenant B.J. Gruber met in person for the first time over lunch at Heritage Elementary. But they already knew each other.
As she was up doing her homework, decided it was the best thing to do was to call the police for some help.
A few days ago, on the Facebook page of the Marion, Ohio Police Department, Lena asked, "I'm having trouble with my homework. Could you help me?"
It was unique. I've never been asked to help with homework before on Facebook Messenger.
Lena posted this math problem, and Lieutenant Gruber wrote back.
Do the numbers in the parentheses first.
Lena followed up with another head scratcher, so he replied.
Take the answer from the first parentheses plus the answer from the second parentheses and multiply that answer times two.
The lieutenant apparently better at solving crimes than math problems, because that advice was wrong. You're supposed to add the second parentheses, multiply that by two, and then add that to the first parentheses, of course.
Math's not my favorite subject. I was just honest with that.
Call it a teachable moment, but one that's clearly not the most important lesson from a veteran cop who may not have all the answers, but it wants to be asked the questions.
I love engaging people. It's one of my favorite parts of my job.
10-year-old Lena had heard about the department's community outreach program from a T-shirt an officer had given her last year.
That we're showing the world that police officers are worthy of your trust.
Yeah, that was awesome.
On duty to protect and serve, and sometimes even tutor. Gabe Gutierrez, NBC News.
Yeah, 'cause they see, like, something.
You gotta love it, huh? That's going to do it for us on a Tuesday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching, and good night.